Love hearing these stories. There's encouragement in there, isn't there? To see what God is doing. Sometimes when we're in our own stuff, it's easy for us to forget, right? And so we tell the stories because we remind each other that God is at work, that God is in our midst, that God is doing something in the midst of places where we're not sure how we're going to get there. God is at work in the places in our lives that feel really messy to us. Maybe they're even some of the pieces in our lives that we want to hide and don't want other people to see because they're messy. God is at work in the midst of those things. Not in spite of them, but right in the midst of them. And our stories remind us of those things. They remind us who He is. They remind us who we are as we seek after following Him. I'm so inspired by the courage. Each of these stories is a story of faith, where somebody has said, okay, God, I'm not sure what you're doing here, but I'm going to trust you in this thing. And faith is hard, isn't it? Like, if it was easy, everybody would just do it. But faith is hard. It takes courage. And so one of the things that happens as we share our stories with each other is we find the courage for our response of faith. I guess you hear these stories, you can find the courage for your response of faith. That sense of, where is God leading? What is He drawing you into? But God, I'm used to this. I'm comfortable with this. And God says, but I want you to trust me here. These stories remind us of that. They become for us sort of a word picture that describes what stories do for us is what I would call a standing stone. It's not a word picture that we use all that often. It comes from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' apprentice. He was Moses' number two, and a lot of you know the story of Moses and what God called Moses to do, and imagine living in his shadow. That would be pretty intimidating, to live in the shadow of Moses. But there comes a time in the history of Israel where Moses dies, and Joshua receives the mantle of leadership, and it would be Joshua's job to take them, because they had been in slavery in Egypt, and they had come out of slavery in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, right, by God's hand of provision. He's parted the Red Sea. They came through on dry ground. But because of their unbelief as a people, God led them, and they wandered, and they wandered, and they wandered. Like a man with no GPS. They wandered and they wandered and they wandered. For 40 years they wandered, but now is the time, through Joshua's leadership, Moses was gone, Joshua's leadership, it was time for them to go into the land of promise. The thing that God had promised them, the place that God had been leading them, it was now time. And all they had to do was cross this river. But as they stood there on the banks of this river, it looked absolutely impossible. The Bible describes that the river was at flood stage. It doesn't tell us exactly how many feet across or anything like that, doesn't it? But it just, the whole setting was intimidating. You look this way and there's river. You look that way and there's river. There's no bridges. There's no ferries to get across. It's just river at flood stage. And God's promise is on that side, and here we are on this side. And so God gives instructions through Joshua to take the Ark of the Covenant, this representation of God's presence in their midst, to have the priests walk into the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Seems like a silly thing to do, but God, the river is deep, the river is running fast, and you're telling us that the most prized possession, the Ark of the Covenant, is to go into the midst of the river. It was a moment to trust, was it not? And so Joshua gives the instruction, and the priests hike it up, and they walk step by step into the river. And as they do, every step that they take, the river stops running until they find themselves standing in the middle of it, and the river stops. Not just it slowed down, not just it reduced its size, but the river stopped. There, in the presence of God, in the faithful response of the people, the river stopped. And just like they had done earlier, 40 years earlier under Moses' leadership, the people walked across that river on dry ground. And as the river was parted, the river was stopped, the people walked across and they went into the land of promise, walking on dry ground. There's so much stuff that's wrapped up into the story, but I want us to look at it because it has a lot to do with the stories that we tell today. Joshua chapter 4, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Like, that must have not have been a quick thing either. The whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. The Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones, not 12 apiece, but one apiece, so that there would be 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, so like a big boulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, listen to this, in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the ark, the covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. These stones were assembled out of the river. And there's something significant about that. God was marking this moment. God was marking this moment with a purpose. In other words, God marked the moment at the moment. Like, into the moment, they had just crossed through the Jordan, and God said, this is the moment, capture it. He didn't have, use an iPhone, take a selfie at this moment to capture the moment. But he wanted that moment. He didn't wait years later. It was in that moment that God stopped them and said, pay attention, see what's happening here. See, stories do that for us. They mark a moment for us. Sometimes, oftentimes, right in the midst of that moment. These stories are the stone pulled out of the moment. God marked this moment with something that was normal. Stones. Stones were all over the place. They had just walked across these stones as they crossed the river. Stones were incredibly normal. And God wanted to mark this moment with that which was very normal. Stones. Like, stories are like that. Stories are normal. We tell stories as we gather for a meal at the end of a day. We tell stories when it's bedtime and we're tucking our kids in. We tell stories when we're playing games and laughing. We tell stories when a person graduates high school or college. We tell stories at wedding receptions and moments that we want to mark. We tell stories. Stories are normal, but yet God uses them to mark these moments. And yet these stones, as normal as they were, there was something about them. Notice where the stones came from. They came from out of the river. See, while the priests were still there and the river was still stopped up, God said, mark this moment, go get those stones. Don't pull the stones from the side of the riverbank. Pull the stone out of the middle of the miracle that I'm doing for you right now. That's what made these stones so special. The only way to get those stones was as the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant and the river stopped up. That was the only way to get those stones. So while they were normal, there was something about these stones, because in their normalcy, they marked something that God was doing. God wanted to mark this moment because this moment wouldn't last. What we're told is after the stones were brought out, Joshua gave the order and the priests walked out of the river, and as they did, the water came back over, and we're told that it went back to flood stage. So here they are on the other side now, and the river covers that place that they were. There's nothing that would say that a nation walked across this river once the river covered it again. Moments are like that, aren't they? Like, we can be so caught in a moment, like everything changes in this moment, and we wake up the next day and the river floats over it again at flood stage. And what do? Was that moment real? Did that really happen? Did God really provide? No. Maybe. Did God really call me to this? Did God really open this door? Did this really happen? Right? The moments pass us by, and in those moments we so quickly forget as the moment passes us by, which is why God marks the moment. And our stories mark the moment because as we tell the stories, we're reminded this is real, this is true, and this is good. And we mark the moment, and God calls for the moment to be marked so that the story will be told. Listen to what he says here. When your kids ask you, what are those stones doing there? Like this pile of stones, we're going to walk by, there's this pile of stones. Why is that pile of stones there? You're going to tell your children, these stones mark the moment that God brought us into the promised land. Tell the story how he stopped up the river, the Ark of the Covenant, the whole nation walked across into this place of promise. Tell that story. Your story is like one of those stones. Not just the stories that we heard here today, but your story. Your story is one of those stones. It's how we tell the story of God's faithfulness in our world because we so very quickly forget God's faithfulness. And so we tell the story, and our kids ask us, and our grandkids ask us, and our nieces and nephews ask us, what was God like, or why is it like that? And it brings us back in, and we tell the story. It's like this because God is faithful. We live here because God is faithful. This is our home because God is faithful. We work here because God is faithful. We have this family because God is faithful. Why is our family like that? Why do we live in this house? Why do we go to this job? Because God is faithful. It's how we pass the story on. And in doing so, we fan into flame the faith of another generation, of those who have not yet heard how spectacular our God is. And so we tell the stories. Today there was a handful of stories, but they represent our stories, your story. God is writing your story. You might think for a moment that, no, God does that for other people. No, God did it for a nation. He does it for you. He does it for you. He is, as we speak, writing your story. What is the story that you will tell? Let me just pause and pray for us for a moment. Father, you are good to us, and you write our stories. Over and over and over again, you write our stories. I pray, God, that you would draw our attention to these stories, to the stones that mark a moment. Father, would you just take our mind back to just this past year? We know time doesn't mean all that much to you, but to us it means something. And so we think about this past year, and we look at your hand of faithfulness, how you have provided, how you have been present in the midst of a storm, how you have opened doors that we could not open on our own, how you have provided friendships and relationships, marriages, comfort. God, you are good and you are faithful. And we allow our lives, our stories, to become these standing stones that mark the moment of your faithfulness so that the story can be told and told and told again. And we tell these stories to bring glory and honor to your name that the world might praise you along with us. For you are worthy of the entire world praising you and knowing how beautiful you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've got a story to tell, right? You've got a story to tell. God is writing your story. As you came in, you noticed a 3x5 card on your seat. If you would take those out now, this would be a great time for that. There should be some pens spattered around. You might need to share a pen or two. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a couple of minutes. The team's going to sing a song. Just take a couple of minutes as they sing, and I want you to invite God to show you who he was in your life over the course of this past year. We're just thinking 2019, right? As we bring this year to a close, we're going to look back and let him show us what he has done in our lives. And I'm going to ask you, as you reflect on that, to just write one word, maybe two words. If it's three, I'm going to tear it up. Just one or two words. We're not looking for sentences and paragraphs. One or two words that capture how you have experienced God in your life in 2019. For some of you, it's going to be very difficult to narrow it down. Let God speak to you in that, which is the one that you want to proclaim most fully. For some of you, you're like, I'm not even sure. Let God show you. Let God show you. And then just on one side, just write the word, write the two words in the card. And then what's going to happen, after a couple of minutes, we get to quietly reflect in that. The connections team is going to pass the offering baskets by. It's a time for us to give, right? Because a lot of us do that, to get behind what God is doing here, to give financially. So do that as the offering container goes by. Do it online too, if that's your preference. Maybe you have a prayer request on the Live It Share It card. Put that in the basket as it goes by. But take this card, this thing that God has been to you, has done for you, and give it to Him as an offering of praise, an offering of worship, as a stone to stand to mark a moment. So again, you're going to get a couple minutes, think, reflect, pray. What is that word? Write it down. Then after a couple moments, the baskets will go by. Put your offering in as that basket goes by. And together we praise Him and worship Him, for He is a God. He is a God who marks a moment.
Just from sin and
God, we praise your name, for you are most worthy of praise. You are God of all creation. You are the God who rescued your people from slavery, and you led them through the Red Sea. You led them across the Jordan into the place of promise. And into that land, out of that place, out of that nation, you brought forth your Son. Your Son, the fulfillment of your promise, who is continuing to fulfill your promise in our midst today through your Spirit. God, we praise and proclaim your name. You are continuing to write this story in our lives, and we are in awe of you and your faithfulness. We praise you. Amen. Amen. You know, they were standing on the side of the Jordan River. They had just walked through there, and here were these 12 stones piled up. They had walked on those stones. They came from the middle of that river, and here they stood on the bank, and they would be a reminder for generations to come of that moment of God's faithfulness. But God didn't do that just so they could stand on the bank of that river and be at awe at crossing on dry ground. He did that because it led to the next moment. It was the place that he was leading them that he wanted their focus to be, that he would build trust in him through his faithfulness, that they would walk with him into this land of promise. As we share our stories, it's not merely to look back with gratitude, though that is part of it. It is not merely to infuse us with faith and courage, though that is part of it. It is not only to praise and worship God and his faithfulness, though that is part of it. It is because of what God does in us that moves us forward. There's a couple of ways that we get to continue to share our stories. You know a great place to share stories? Food. Sharing a meal together is a great time to tell stories. You're invited to stick around and to feast together in God's goodness that you have provided for us out here in the commons. As you do, have some conversations and tell your stories. You wrote down a word on that piece of paper. Ask somebody what their word was and see if they'll tell you their story. Share what your word is and share your story about what God has done in you. You know, we are part of a church community that God is shaping here too. In the foyer and out by reception, you're going to find, we just call it an annual report. It in itself doesn't sound all that inspiring, but it's our story. There's some nerd pieces of the story in here, but there's also the stories of what God has been doing in us and through us as his people. If you want to grab one of these, feel free to take that out there because it is a great story that is being told. It is a great story that we are together a part of. And as we share this meal together, let's do so with hearts of gratitude, for God is faithful. So we look back and 2019 is just about in the books. Not many more days left of it. Look back with gratitude and see how God has moved in your life. And know that the story is not yet done. For we head into 2020. And time doesn't seem as important to God, but for us, it's how we mark time. It's how we mark these moments. And my prayer for you is that as you head into 2020, that you will see God's faithfulness, that you will see his character, that you will know his nearness, and that a year from now as we gather, there will be more stories to be told of who our God is, that the world may know. The story is far from done. The story continues.